and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's episode, you just have Ashley and I, and we are talking about eco-friendly sewing.
Mm-hmm.
That's our topic today. We're going to kind of dive right in. But before we do, we haven't really done like a reflection in a while. We've had a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like we should kind of take a minute to like reflect back on some of the podcasts we've done recently, some of the amazing people that we recently talked to. There's so many, but we can kind of chat about some of those. I don't know. I feel like this year has gone by really fast so far.
It has.
But then I take a second to look back and go, look at all these people we've talked to and look at all this growth we've had with our podcast, which is a huge shout out to our listeners. Mm-hmm. Y'all are amazing, sharing the podcast every week and interacting with us and tuning in every Tuesday. And those who are signing up to tune in every Thursday for our Patreon account, like to have more content because you just want more.
Yeah.
And we love to give you more. So I don't know, Ashley, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm blown away with the amount of support and kind messages that we get from you guys. And if you're thinking, like, should I message them? Yes, you should message us because we love to
hear from you.
Yes, exactly. We love talking to you guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should talk about some of our guests because they have been, I mean, I feel like we've gotten some big fish, you know?
I mean, you see people from, you know what you know based on what they share on social media, but we don't take the time to like, when we follow someone new to like really go back and kind of see where they started or see what they used to do. And I think that's been the most exciting part for me is like, you know, we get to talk to Brandon with Happily Dressed and I've worked with him a little bit for Singer and I've followed him for a little while. But to kind of hear more about where he started, what he does full time, and what he has dreaming and planning to accomplish within the next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I just fell in love with him even more.
I know.
I can say that about all of these guests. Like,
truly.
We walk away every time learning something new, either about sewing, about life, about themselves, about their homestead and things that they do. I mean, we talked to Tanya and I'm still like on the hunt for the little baskets to put wax paper in to serve my dinners with because I'm tired of washing dishes. So you just never know what you're going to get from these episodes.
Yeah. And they were guests, but I feel like they leave as friends, which is I just love that our little community is just growing. And I just, it's amazing.
It is amazing. And I've actually even had the privilege of meeting some of these people in person, either before we record a podcast with them or, you know, after we've recorded podcast. And it's just chance. Like, I honestly didn't know that they were going to be at the same events that I didn't know I was going to go at until like weeks before for work. And then I'm there and I get to meet them in person because they happen to come and be there. So just, you know, getting to meet some of them has been a privilege and an honor. And it just takes that relationship from doing this podcast, which is very personal and intimate, to I get to hug their necks, and that in-person interaction is just so special.
I need to get some Canadians because I need to meet some people.
You just need to come down. We'll have a big reunion, podcast reunion. We'll invite everybody here. And you can come down and we'll just have a big, I feel like that would be the best family reunion ever to have everybody in one place. Like, how cool would that be?
Maybe five year goals.
It lives in my dreams.
It's like a Met Gala for the Social Hour or something.
Yes.
Everyone wear their own makes. Oh no. Can you imagine?
OMG. Well, look what you've done.
I put the bug in your ear.
I mean, I lost my words. This has to happen. The Met Gala of the sewing community? Are you kidding me?
That would be ridiculously amazing.
Well, this podcast has peaked already. I mean, come on. I can already see it.
I know.
It's beautiful.
And people would love it. People would come. It would be like,
could you imagine if we made it like the kickoff of like a really fun like sewing retreat, but like just to hang out and free sew and chit chat and because a lot of these people that we talk to, they go and do sewing retreats, but they're teaching and they're working it, and I want them to enjoy the fun side of it because I'm the one also teaching and working in a booth or whatever, and I never get to do all the fun stuff. I never get to take the classes.
Yeah.
So maybe we just like
reverse it, make it about them.
Yeah. Like, hey, let's just have some fun. We free sew. Mm-hmm. We do whatever we want, you know, but like to really make it about like showing up and having this demonstration of our talents and, and this Met Gala esque, you know, minds. Oh my gosh, Ashley.
Now I'm like, do we tell people or we just like keep this little nugget for ourselves?
I mean, it's out there now. It's on the podcast. We got to make this happen. Yeah. So to our guests, our previous guests, all the way back to the beginning, if you have ideas, if you want to partner with us to make this happen, please let us know. We're interested. Mm-hmm. We're putting it out there. I think this would be fantastic. Not necessarily this year, but maybe next year. Maybe having it aligned with the same time as the Met Gala. I'm just saying. That would be really cool.
Yeah, it just happened, didn't it?
It did. This week. But yeah, no, we've had some amazing guests. We have some even more people coming. We've got people scheduled. What, this is May. We've got people scheduled all the way through July now. And I'm so excited. We're having people reach out to us and go, I love your podcast. I'd love to be on it. Yes. We love to hear that. We've had people suggest people too. And, you know, we reach out to those people in hopes that we can get them on as well. So again, this is not just Ashley and I pulling this off by any means.
No.
We owe it
to our guests.
Have fun.
Yes.
Having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about eco-friendly sewing.
We are. It's actually a very popular topic these days.
Yes. It is.
So
it's a lot of mixed emotions and feelings about it too. But I think at the end of the day, it's just being more self-aware, you know, and doing what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some ideas of ways that you can be more sustainable or eco-friendly with your sewing or in your sewing space or how you do things with sewing. But by no means do you have to do any or all of these. They're just suggestions. And some of these might go,
that's a good idea.
I could implement that today or tomorrow. And some, you know, you may go, oh, that's a lot. You don't have to do all of these. They're just ideas. Okay. But it's good to talk about it. It's good to talk about ways that we can be more, like I said, self-aware of how, what our craft is affecting our world. And beyond our sewing room, right?
Yes.
That's really it. So let's first start by talking about choosing sustainable fabrics. What does this mean for you, Ashley?
Sustainable fabrics. I don't really know. I think it's just like fabrics that are better for the environment.
Like natural materials.
Yeah. And they biodegrade if you choose to toss that garment and doesn't create,
because a garment doesn't last forever, right?
No, yeah.
So, I mean, using things that are of natural materials is obviously ideal.
I learned that there's hemp fabric as well, which is completely made from a plant. Cotton, of course, is made by a plant. Bamboo, like all those. Linen, also, I guess, is made from the flax plant. I just learned that. So
me too.
All those, I love all those, especially for like little like dresses and things. Like but bamboo, I think and hemp can be made into like jersey fabric too.
Really?
Yeah. So you
they
can
have
get
like a softer, stretchier. That's interesting. I feel like there's a, you know, there's so many different types of fabrics, right? but just taking a moment to kind of look at the end of the bolt of a fabric when you're shopping and go, what is this? What is this consisting of?
Yeah.
Right.
What's the fiber like content?
If there's a lot of polyester in it, that's not a natural material. No. It's not biodegradable. So, you know, we want to look for those things, right? Mm-hmm. As often as we can. Does it mean it has to be every time you purchase material, but just to be self-aware, like the company that I'm purchasing from or the store I'm purchasing from, do you see more natural fibers, natural materials or not? Do you need to revisit, like, who am I supporting? Who am I giving my money to in that regard? You know, if this is really important to you.
Yeah.
Just a food for thought. Now, obviously, using organic or recycled fabrics is another way to be more sustainable with your fabric choices.
Mm-hmm. But it's also if you have like a skin condition and you're like, yes. Oh, I don't know why these things like psoriasis keep spiking, like changing over to cotton or linen, like those fabrics up against your skin.
Yep.
Like if you know, you want to make undies, like cotton really is the best way to go when it comes to those things because it's, you know, doesn't breed things, bacteria and stuff. But it's
true.
It's just better for, I mean, I have eczema, so I think about that stuff. I know lots of people do.
What did you call it?
Eczema. What do you call it?
Eczema.
Okay.
And I have that too, especially on my arms. I get it really bad and I will start itching so bad. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know this is a little off topic, but like there's been times where, I mean, I've learned the hard way which detergents I can use, right?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot use Tide.
Oh, really?
I cannot use Tide. So on my clothes, on my towels, on my bed sheets, cannot use it. It makes me itch. Really? So I go with a more natural detergent for that reason. I've also, and I may gross some people out here with this comment, but I know I'm not alone. So I will say it. I've bought things from a store, like a shirt, and then not washed it before I wore it to work the next day. And I specifically remember this happening when I lived in Florida and I was working like a business, like a corporate job, and I had to wear suits or suit dresses every day, blazers, suits, everything. And so I would go to Express and get the cheap button down, like flowy, satiny, silky kind of shirts because it's Florida and it was so hot. And those were very lightweight and breathable and I wouldn't be melting. Okay. As bad. And I bought one that was this beautiful hot pink. I loved it. It was really cute with like my navy or black slacks and my blazer. And I remember sitting at my desk one day and my boss looks over at me. He's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh no, no."
Y'all, I was so red. I was as red as this pink shirt.
Oh no.
I was itching so bad and I was swelling up and my throat was scratchy. Like it was bad. And I had to leave work, drive all the way home, shower, change shirts, and go all the way back to work and take some Benadryl. I mean, it was bad. Wow. And so I immediately washed that shirt. And I've never had a reaction like that with a shirt that I bought from a store and didn't wash first, but now I'm more like, ooh, I don't want that to happen again. So I really do make an effort when I can. If I'm buying something to wear like that night for something specific, you can't always do that, but I really try. But you just don't know where things have been.
No.
Like where they've been in a warehouse, where they were made, how they've been shipped. You don't know what they've been exposed to. And whatever was on that shirt, I had a horrible allergic reaction to.
I think they put chemicals on the fabric too. I don't know if it's for shipping, maybe to stop like bugs from like eating them and on the boat or something.
I don't know. And this is probably something that probably came over on a boat because they're mass produced. But this was a long time ago and live and learn. I don't have that shirt anymore. It was super cute though, but I could totally make one now with better fabric. Yeah, totally. I know that was, but that happens, right?
Yeah. But that's the fast fashion industry for you though.
It is. But this also kind of applies to repurposing old fabrics. So if you're gifted something, if you're thrifting something, wash it, especially thrifted things. You just don't know where it's been. That's kind of gross.
Yeah.
You don't think about that when you're buying something brand new off a rack with tags on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't really like think too much about it. And now, every time I have something brand new off, I'm like, let's wash this.
Yeah.
I don't care if it showed up, if they shipped it to me in a plastic bag and it was all sealed and perfectly folded and whatever, and it had one of those little packets of keep it fresh things in it. I still am like, no, we're going to wash it every time. So another thing, like I mentioned, is people thrifting fabrics. You do this a lot. You're very good at this.
I just went to the thrift store yesterday, actually, and it was a fail.
Oh, it's a little loose. You have to keep going. Okay.
Lots of buttons, and they're still in the cards. So
they each have a friend. It's a buddy system. Oh, that one has four of them.
This is, you. If you're looking for buttons, try to find packs of buttons that have them all on their cards. Because if you see the loose buttons at the store, you're not going to find any matching. Okay.
No,
they're always one-off buttons. But I love going to the thrift store to get buttons because they're so much cheaper.
What else do you get from the thrift store what do you look for? Like, I'm asking because I don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And the few times that I've gone to, we don't really have, and if we do, I can't find them, but we don't really have anything more than like, say, Goodwill.
Yeah.
And if we do have thrifting places, they're not close to me. And so it's hard for me to get there, but like even the Goodwill, but the one by my house is just, there's not fabric. There's not bed sheets. There's not stuff like that. And the last few times I've been,
there's also a possibility that they don't accept fabric donations.
They have stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, there may be one or two bed sheets and that's it. And they are.
Yeah.
You know, like.
There's apparently fabric donation places though also.
Really?
Yeah, like that actually accept fabric.
Hmm.
So you could that's the thing, is
there's
that,
like
Alyssa said,
there's like a comforter from like the 80s with lace trim. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of looking for like quilts or bed sheets that I could use.
Yeah But normally, of course, the fabric is kept usually near the, linens and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking for anything that I use, like cotton fabric or jersey or.
You found some good sweater knit stuff too before. Mm-hmm. Or blankets.
Rib knits. I use a blanket to line my shacket that I made, I was looking for, what's that fabric called? The
fleece or the Sherpa?
Yeah, the Sherpa. I just went and got a Sherpa blanket. Like, done. You know, like, why do I need to go and get Sherpa from the meter, And it wasn't, like, a cute Sherpa, so I'm sure no one was going to buy it, and it was probably going to end up, But it was perfect for the lining of the inside of my coat, right?
Yeah.
Keeps it nice and warm. I'm always looking for, like, vintage tools and stuff like that too, because
they're
always better quality. Even safety pins, okay, like that's a thing that if you see safety pins at the thrift shop, like they're always harder, and like sometimes you'll find like a whole bag because like a quilter, like they have their safety pins,
the quilting safety pins that have the bend in them. Those are kind of pricey for what they are. Like these.
Yes.
I just happen to have some sitting right here on my desk.
That's weird.
It is weird, but it's not surprising. What about like, do you ever find like other sewing notions, like trims and.
Oh, yeah. Ribbons and things. Like I've gotten like full on, when you like go to the store and they have it on those like bolts when you buy the ribbon by the meter or whatever. Yeah, no, like the whole bolt is at like the store.
Yeah.
And you're like, score and a half, or like Velcro, or just bags of, like, I've gotten so much stuff.
Yeah.
From the thrift store.
But the flip side of this is also like donating, right? Mm, like, yeah. It's not going to be there for someone else to shop and use and repurpose if you don't donate it. So, mm-hmm. you know, spring is here, spring cleaning. This could be a good time as you rotate your closet mm-hmm. from winter to spring. Like, I do this every season switch, like every spring and every fall, I swap out my closets because I have tiny closets. So I can't keep everything out. I actually have to box it up and put it mm-hmm. in the attic. Mm-hmm. And so, what I do is I go through and as I'm purging, and I got to do it this weekend, say remove my winter stuff out of my closet. I need to look and go, did I wear it this garment this winter or fall? Mm-hmm. If I didn't wear it, not even once, it's probably going to get donated.
And did you hear about that hanger trick that people have been doing? Like, if you have a closet that you hang everything.
I hang a lot.
You flip all your hangers, and then as you grab your clothing, yes. you flip the hanger, and then at the end of the season or year or whatever, you say, okay, well, I didn't obviously wear any of those, so purge.
My clothes mean a lot to me. I will be able to know.
Yeah.
And remember which ones I didn't wear. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is everything, my closet's really narrow. So everything that is right here when you first open the door, I've worn.
Yeah.
Everything that's managed to get pushed back into that corner that's dark and you can't really see, yeah. I probably haven't worn.
But it might be like a dress to a wedding or something to wear to a funeral.
if it's those things, I'm not going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
If it's those things, but, if it's not my style or if it doesn't fit me anymore, I might.
Yeah.
And when I say it doesn't fit me anymore, I mean it's too small. If it was too big, I could always resize it, right? Yeah. But usually it's the other way around, unfortunately. Yes. Unfortunately. But yeah, no, that is on my list of things to do this weekend because I've gotten to the point where I can't hang anything else in that closet. And all the hangers are like, here's the rack, and all the hangers are like pushed up. And so everything's wrinkled when I take it out of the closet. It's driving me nuts because.
Like, what's the point of hanging it at that point?
I also have, and Ashley knows this, I don't know if I've really shared this on the podcast, I have an obsession with jeans. I really should count how many pairs of jeans I have. Something happened in 2021 where I had been living in leggings for mm-hmm. so long that mm-hmm. I realized this is not who I want to be anymore. I want to wear real pants.
Yeah. Big girl pants.
Big girl pants. I don't know why. I think what happened is I got introduced to a boutique that I bought some jeans from, and I fell in love with this brand of jeans, and I'm obsessed with them, and they're the only jeans I buy. Mm-hmm. They're the only jean shorts I buy. And yes, I could make my own jeans. But when you find something that good.
But they fit you every time. You know your size.
Every single time.
That's nice.
And they have so many different styles, and they come out with new ones all the time, and they're very on trend. And there's some with, you know, clean and simple and perfect for work. There's some that have like tears in them and they're not so perfect for work, but they're fun for weekends or work from home days. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's skinny jeans, there's wide leg jeans, there's flare jeans. I mean, I have so many jeans. I really need to go count. I need to go through them though, because when I first started shopping this boutique, I was a smaller size than I am now. And I have learned to not make myself miserable and squeeze. And I think this is why I didn't always like to wear jeans. I would try to squeeze myself into a size that I wanted to be, not the size that I am. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Now I'm dressing for the body that I have. Whether I love it or not, I'm dressing for the body that I have. And when you do, yeah, I may be up another size or two, but guess what? They actually look more flattering on me because they're not squeezing me to death and look like I'm stuffed sausage in them. So I'm just saying, like, I need to go through them because I have so many that they don't fit in the drawer that I have designated for my jeans anymore. Mm-hmm. And I have stacks of jeans next to the drawer on the floor. Stacks. Stacks. Stacks on stacks.
Yeah.
So, I just I'm looking over here at a bin of jeans from last year and I'm like, I don't know if any of those fit. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the jeans. Some of them I might hold on to, not because of the hopes of losing weight. No, I'll just buy new jeans if that happens. But to make some denim projects, some denim bags, some denim
into like skirt.
It's the waist that's too small. Yeah. So not really, but there's I do a lot of denim projects for Singer.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a good option to save a few, not all of them, but to save a few. Do like some cool like quilted color patch bag or something would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of different colors of denim. But yeah. And then the rest will get donated or, you know, I like to find someone that is in need that I can gift them to.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that would be able to wear them and, you know, help them out. I'd rather do that than just drop them off at Goodwill, to be honest.
I know.
But if I can't find someone, I usually will find, like, I'll reach out to, like, we have a pregnancy care center. Like,
that's
you know, those kind of things.
Women's shelters and things like
there's,
that. And,
there's a couple of programs here that will take like work clothes and attire so that people who need an outfit to get to have an interview to get a job. So you could donate those there. So, I mean, I try to be conscious of where I'm donating when I donate as well. You know, did you know, there's a place here in Nashville called Smart Art. And they take donations of all types of crafts, supplies, including sewing, fabrics, notions, trims, machines, supplies, but they have all sorts of craft supplies. And they sell the stuff that they get donated for pennies on the dollar. And then they run specials. And then sometimes they have like, you know, like the baskets at the grocery store or at the dollar store or whatever. They have those. And it's like, whatever you can put in that basket is like $20 or something like that. You know, because it's great for people who like maybe teachers who need some supplies for crafts for their room. It's a great opportunity for them to get a lot for less, or people who can't afford to buy brand new craft supplies or have a kid that wants to try a different type of craft. They can go there and see what they have. And it literally their stuff changes all the time. So that is a place where, you know, you can find some really good deals, especially on fabric. So maybe when you come here, if they're open while you're here, we can go down there and check it out. But they also, the proceeds, it's a not-for-profit, it's a nonprofit. So their proceeds go towards a foundation, and I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but we'll link it because it goes towards the people that, it gives jobs to people who wouldn't normally be able, I think, to also get jobs.
Nice. That's cool. So,
let me actually.
Well, then, yeah, that's the thing. We encourage, if you are going to donate, to try to find those little gems. Yeah. Instead of just like, so easy to go to Value Village or Goodwill or whatever.
They do take those big donations. Corporations. They do have volunteer opportunities.
Nice.
They do special sales and events. And then they even have like a membership where you can like get access to sales before other people. But that monthly membership is just constant support for their their stuff. Okay, so it says on their website, 100% of our profits at Smart Art and Craft Supplies benefit programs to promote health, happiness, and safety of adults living with intellectual disabilities in our community. As individuals with these disabilities often have problems with major life activities such as language, mobility, learning, self-help, and independent living, we're honored to help in any way that we can. They serve as a vocational center for people with intellectual disabilities. So various adults with those disabilities come to Smart Art to learn job skills.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So I love that this, I wanted to read it because I wanted to make sure I was relaying the information correctly. But they are really a sweet group of people. And they really love the community that they're serving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't be upset when you're selling pretty things and arts and crafts supplies. And so it's a really cool place. And now that we're talking about it, I want to go there maybe today. No, it's just a fun place to visit. I want to say that they have a sale coming up next week. So maybe I'll go next week. It's a fabric sale. It's fill a basket full of fabric for $24.95.
Dude.
Quilting go. Cotton and you premium fabric go. As well. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they have all sorts of goodies. Really... And then they do some classes and all of that stuff too.
Really?
Painting classes. And I mean, you just never know what you're going to find.
Fun.
Yeah. It's like the thrift shop for crafting.
That's you know? What every city needs.
It really is. And it gives back, right? It gives back. I was going to also say, if you have something like an old machine and you don't have a place like this, right? And you don't have someone who wants to learn to sew that you can, and it's still in working condition, right? Reach out to a school, reach out to a teacher, find a teacher who sews. Cause there's teachers who will on the side, like teach kids who are interested in learning how to sew. Cause that's not really something that's taught in schools anymore, but they need machines to use at school to do that. And so just think outside the box. I know it takes more effort. It does, but you took the time to purchase it. You took the time to use it. Take the time to give it a new home, whether it's fabric, machines, supplies, notions, old blankets and quilts and bed sheets even.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So some of the other things that we were going to talk about is using natural dyes or eco-friendly and using eco-friendly threads as well.
That's the thing is that if you were to buy cotton and you're like, this is good for the environment, you know, if you dye it with something like a synthetic dye or something, a dye that's not good, then it actually
defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it won't break down because the dye coats it.
Yeah.
So you can use different types of things like beet juice or I've seen like
turmeric.
Yeah, turmeric or tea, you know, like tea bags.
You know, we were talking to Tiffany with Old Ragdoll Cupboard last December. And I had mentioned that when I got ragdolls from her, they smell delicious. And she didn't share, it's proprietary, what she uses to naturally dye her linen and her cotton that she uses to make her ragdolls. But she does dye the material.
Yeah.
And it's probably some sort of either tea or coffee mixture, but it gives this really pretty like neutral, natural tone. But it smells so good. I love it. So I've seen people do that before. You know, there's also like flowers that have like ways to like boil them down and get the extract color from their petals and things that can actually change. I mean, these aren't going to like vibrantly.
No. Yeah.
Right. But it's a way to just be aware. You've heard of the burn test, right?
Yes.
For fabric. So let's say you thrifted some fabric and you're like, I'm not 100% sure if this is
synthetic
cotton or synthetic, and you can do a little burn test. So go outside, please. And take a lighter and maybe have some water nearby, right next to you, but you're going to take the lighter in like the corner of your fabric, just the edge, and you're going to light it on fire. Okay. Now if it melts and doesn't really catch fire, it just melts the like edge. It's not catching fire.
Kind of singeing it, you know,
it's synthetic.
Yeah.
If it's actually like ready to catch fire, you dunk it in the water and you go, that's natural fiber. Okay. Now I know that's a good way of telling the difference. So when I sewed that satin ribbon around the blanket, you'll see in my video, I use a lighter to on the edge of that satin, because it seals it and prevents it from fraying, but it doesn't catch fire. It like melts it.
Melts. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean,
that's a good tip because not everybody knows that, especially when you're working with fabric from the thrift shop.
Yeah. You don't really know what you're getting sometimes, you know, or it may feel, I mean, it's amazing what they can make these days. It may feel like linen.
Is that the one fabric that you got that looks like linen, but it's not?
A linen lookalike. Yes. Yeah. It's a prime example. It's a linen lookalike. I love it. Don't come for me. I truly love it because it looks like linen. It feels like linen. It has the texture and weight of linen.
But
it's a poly blend. So it doesn't wrinkle.
Yeah.
Like linen. So yeah, I mean, I bought it because it's amazing and I love the look of linen. I hate ironing.
Yeah.
Well, that was a day where the fabric won because I really don't like ironing. I don't like ironing clothes once they're made. Well, it's so awkward.
We're talking about this not because we go by all these rules, you know, but
not every day.
No.
But there are days where I like am more conscious. There's times where I'm more aware.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say I couldn't be more aware. I think we could all say that sometimes, you know, we've all fallen in love with the fabric. And
I mean, I'm not going to lie. A lot of, for me, it's driven by cost.
Because that's a big part of it too.
It's really expensive to buy fabric. Especially in Canada, I'm talking like $30 to $36 a meter for some really nice cotton fabric. So if I go to a thrift shop and I can find some nice cotton fabric for way cheaper, that's why I go to the thrift shop.
Yeah,
because I'm cheap.
Yes. No, you're just trying to be more conscious. And there's another side of being eco-friendly, I guess, to sewing is also being aware of how much you're spending, right?
Yeah.
You're being economical, I guess is the right word, of and being aware of how much you're spending on your craft too, because you need to stay within your means.
Yeah, and I don't want to impact my family. I don't want to be like, sorry, kids, we're not eating tonight. So, but I'm sewing.
Yeah, that would be good. No,
it would not be.
Now, eco-friendly thread is another thing that we can talk about. Also, there's natural cotton threads. Mm-hmm. There's silk threads. Instead of those synthetic threads that are made with like petroleum and those kind of things. Now, when we were talking about dyeing fabric, if you have a garment that you've purchased from said thrift store, or you were gifted, or it's been in your closet for a long time and you're wanting to give it new life and you want to dye it. Not only do you need to check and see what type of material you're working with, but just because your garment may be 100% cotton doesn't mean the thread it was used that was used to sew it was cotton.
True, true.
And if that's the case and you go to dye it, this white garment into a purple garment, I can tell you right now, if it has synthetic thread, it's not going to change color. And you're going to see every single stitch on that now purple shirt because the thread was not natural. So you just need to be aware if there's a spot that you can test just a little
can
bit.
Can you burn the burn test the same with thread? Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's a sewn garment, you can't light it on fire. You want to repurpose it and make it. So, you know, you just find a little test spot or something, but just be aware that just because the tag says the fabric is 100% cotton doesn't mean the thread is.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it has the trim stitches. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just may be one of those that you need to be aware of because those threads are not going to take dye like a cotton thread. Now, cotton thread, I sew with for certain projects, but not for clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it tends to break really easily.
Yeah, and that's probably the issue.
It tends to snap and break. So if you see stitches popping, that could be part of it. Also, thread has a shelf life.
Oh,
like it doesn't last forever. Just like fabrics, it's
Pretty sure it's like 30-year-old thread.
Yeah, but like, let me show you this one right here.
What's the shelf life? I need to know.
It depends. It depends on the quality of the thread. But like this one right here, I don't know if you can see this. Mm-hmm. It is fuzzy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have one.
It's a fuzzy. Tools. This one, not fuzzy. Mm-hmm. Okay. This one's better quality than this one. Okay. It doesn't have dates on it.
Hmm.
But I mean, the bottom is like, you could tell this one is, and this one's newer. You can just tell by the sticker alone. But this thread right here, if I pulled it, it would snap real easily. So
was it fuzzy in the beginning or did it mm-hmm. become fuzzy?
It just breaks down. It breaks down. So if I was to use this, if I had this kind of thread in my machine and I was getting frustrated because it was breaking all the time.
Mm-hmm. Change your thread.
Time for some new thread. Now, if it's brand new and your thread's breaking, you've got to fix your threading
yeah.
or tension issue. So, but like this one is not going to do that as easily. So, I mean, it's just something to be aware of. It's like, just because grandma handed you a huge basket of thread from when she first started sewing doesn't mean you should be sewing with it. I'm just saying, everything has a shelf life. So that's just something like when you're thrifting and you see spools of thread, just be aware.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe for some hand sewing, practice hand sewing with your kids or something.
Yeah. Or some very simple projects, right?
Oh, I wanted to mention though that, for the thread that to make sure it's cotton or polyester. I have this tutorial on my YouTube channel and it's one of those microwavable bowl things that you put under your soup and people were putting that into the microwave. Like they would make it a cotton fabric.
I probably would have done that.
But I was just like, in my mind, I was like, no, you should like, you heat up your bowl and then you take it out and you put it in this, you know.
You don't put the pot holder in the microwave.
Yeah.
It's the same concept.
So those are the type. And another one was a popcorn bag that you can actually like a fabric popcorn bag. You can put the popcorn in and you put it in the microwave and then you pop your popcorn. Just like, you know, the disposable ones.
Yeah.
But people, we're not using cotton thread. Very dangerous. Just want to put
that out there. So what happens when you use like a synthetic thread and put it in the microwave? Because I don't know.
I think
does it just melt?
I think so, yeah. And then it just like ruins your thing.
Project.
Yeah.
Did you note that in your tutorial?
Well, I made like
use cotton thread.
I made the popcorn zipper pouch and people did think that it was meant for popcorn, but it also had a metal zipper on it. So I don't know where they got that from. I was like, I had to preface like, please don't put this in the microwave.
Ashley's over here getting hate mail.
This is just a pencil case, and that's it.
Wow. Wow. Too funny. Yeah, you know, it's hard sometimes because, again, I don't always have the stickers. These, obviously, that I'm picking up right now have the stickers on the bottom, but like this one doesn't. These don't.
Yeah.
So burn test. I mean, I can look at them and tell that they're synthetic because they're rayon.
Shiny,
but you just don't really know. And sometimes, and when in doubt, burn it out. I don't know. I'm just trying to rhyme. I'm not good at that. But anyways, it's just something to be aware of. You don't know what the thread is in the repurposed garment, especially if you're dyeing it. That was okay. So let's talk about storage, reusable containers. Storing your sewing supplies, glass jars, fabric bags, disposable bags. You make a lot of bags.
I do.
And for me, like making your own bags is a good scrap buster project. So now you're taking the scraps from your projects and repurposing them into something else, whether it's a little pouch for your sewing notions or your feet. You know, I made that. Where is it? It's in my project bin over there. I think it was for January or February. It's project of the month with Singer. It's a roll-up case.
Oh,
Has like pockets for all of your feet. And then it has like a zipper pouch for notions. And then it has like a long pocket for like tube turners and things. And it all rolls up and ties up so you can travel with it.
Oh, nice.
And take your notions that you need on the go.
We're going to have to bring it on our camera treat.
Yes. But seriously, like it's so nice because it just rolls up and then everything I need is right there. But that's a great, it was all scrap fabric.
Right. And that's the thing. Like we call it stash buster projects, little projects. And I'll have a lot of tutorials on my YouTube channel that are just like, you just need a little piece of something. Mm-hmm. It can get a little bit like much, you know, just kind of throwing all of those little scraps into a bin and then it kind of, you know, explodes. But you know, you're able to go in there and instead of throwing that in the garbage, you can make a little zipper pouch for, you know, someone. I don't know. Yourself.
I mean, there's people make with like the oil cloth, people make like reusable snack bags for lunches and things like that, too. Mm-hmm. We interviewed last year Whitney Sows, and she's got a whole Facebook group all about your stash, working through your stash, using your stash, working with what you have. And then if you don't have what you need, you know, eco-friendly ways to source what you need for a specific project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she rarely buys fabric.
Very rarely. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. To me, it's like the extreme couponers. You remember when that was like a huge thing and there was TV shows about extreme couponers who would buy $500 worth of groceries and only have to pay 49 cents?
Yeah.
After they ran all their coupons, blows my mind. But there's a lot of like effort that goes into that research, sourcing, being very self-aware, planning your projects in advance, you know,
and letting people know too that, hey, if you have curtains or if you have bed sheets and you're just tossing them, hey, send them over here. Cause as pattern designers, like we need fabric for making mock-ups and things. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, like just letting your family know, or even like old purses and things like, hey, if you're going to toss an old purse, like I'll take the hardware off of it. I'll rip a zipper out of something. I'll totally rip a zipper. If I'm just going to use it for a mock-up or something, why would I want to use a brand new zipper? I'll just use one that I took out of an old purse or something, you know, like
that's if it's still in good working condition.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love that you say that because hardware is expensive. And I don't feel like you can just buy like the one or two pieces you need. You have to buy like a lot in one, you know, and so, and then for the one bag you want to make. And that doesn't really apply to you because you make bags all the time. But if I want to make a bag, I can't just buy the hardware. Like, you know what I mean? Like at the store.
You can't buy one at a time.
No. Mm. I'm buying a bunch and I'm like, I just need one.
Yeah.
I just need one.
And then you're like, do I make four of this project?
No.
And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. What?
No. So yeah. But I have a junk drawer of like random hardware that I have purchased because I only needed one.
Yeah.
That's something else that we could look for at thrift stores.
Well, what I was actually, I'm so upset because I think my thrift stores stopped doing this, but for a while there, they would get like random purse straps because a lot of people buy their purses and they only use it as like a handbag and they don't and then they just donate the straps. And so I was getting beautiful. I got Coach straps. I got like, so you could take a strap and turn it into like a wristlet. You can make it smaller. You could use all the hardware off of it, the Coach hardware I have from, and now I haven't seen any of those.
So many unused Kate Spade straps.
Yeah, that's good quality stuff.
I never knew what to do with them. You just gave me a whole new idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't ever throw those out. Good stuff.
It's
just like changing your perspective.
Live in my closet.
And just like, you know, like you wouldn't even think to be like, oh yeah, that's true. I did buy a purse and it did have a strap and it's just it's in my closet doing nothing.
Or it's like I go to Goodwill and go straight to where like the fabric, the sheets, the quilts would be. Mm-hmm. And if there's nothing there, I just turn around and leave. I don't even think to look at like the bags and hardware or like getting a pair of jeans to make a bag or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or looking at the clothes for the fabric, you know,
It's just a different way of looking at thing, changing it into a material rather than a garment or a bag. Yeah. Just be like, okay, what's on this?
Yeah.
You know, I'll go over to the dollar store and get a dog harness. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. So it has two D-rings mm-hmm. and it has three buckles. Like, perfect. That's all I need, you know? $1.25.
It's great. I mean, I couldn't get one D-ring for $1.25 because I have to buy them in packs. So, yeah. And we kind of already talked about our last topic here, which is donating or selling unwanted supplies and just being mm-hmm. aware of where you're sending it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just, for me, it's like, if someone else can use it, please have it. Mm-hmm. Please take it. The machine that I started my bandana business with, I donated to a friend who wanted to learn to sew. She came over, we were, she wanted to make a chili roll rug and she'd never really sewn before, but her mom sewed. She really wanted to learn. She came over and I had to make one anyways, as a gift, for my sister-in-law. So I said, let's both make one and I'll set you up with one of my heavy duty machines at this table and I'll be right here next to you working on mine and we'll do them together.
Nice.
And we did. And she had so much fun and she loved learning to sew. And then it got me thinking, I have a machine that I haven't used since I started working for Singer, like a personal machine that I had before working with Singer. And I got it out and I looked at it and I'm like, gosh, this is a great little computerized machine. Like, I mean, it's put in some time for my bandana business, but I cleaned it out and made sure it was in good working condition. And I called her over and I said, hey, I've got something for you. She came over after work one day and I gifted it to her. Nice. And I sat down with her and I took the time to show her how to use it because it was different than the mechanical machine she had learned to sew her rug with. And so now she has it in her little sewing and craft studio because she does other crafty stuff and she loves it and she's getting more comfortable with it. And we are going to do more projects together, but it just, I mean, I could have sold it.
Yeah.
But it meant more to mm-hmm. me to gift that to her mm-hmm. than to sell it to some stranger who probably would just end up putting it in their closet.
Yeah.
And not really use it or whatever. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I wanted to support her craft and wanting to her passion to want to learn something new. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you have the means and the ability to gift things that you are no longer going to need and use, I encourage you to do so. Mm-hmm. There will always be more money to make, but to be able to gift her that filled my cup a lot more than the $100 I probably would have made off that machine.
Yeah, exactly.
To be honest. So anyways, and I probably would have taken the $100 and bought more fabric I don't need. So, be honest. But yeah, I need to be better about, I feel like I've gotten better about it this year. Just not buying fabric just to buy fabric.
Yeah. Like, well, that's how I've always been.
You and I are opposites.
I'm like, okay, I have a project in mind. I buy fabric. Bethany's like, I don't have a project, but it's on sale.
It's on sale. It gets me every single time. But if it's something I haven't seen before and it's the last bit, like,
it's not going to be there.
If it's giving me inspiration, mm-hmm. I will find a pattern for the fabric. So usually that's what happens for me is I'm not like Ashley, like, oh, I want to make this or I want to sew this pattern. Let me go find a fabric that works with it. I'm the opposite. Let me just buy the whole dang fabric store. Okay. Not really, but you know what I mean? I want all the variety. Yeah. And then as patterns are released and I see them, I get inspired by them. I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I want to use to make that with. Cause I have it right here in my stash and I can literally buy the pattern and make it that same day.
Well, that's another part of it, right? It's like you were able gratification. You made those pants and you were like, I know exactly what I'm doing. And you went home and you made those pants that day.
That night. Yeah. But I've had that fabric for a while. I got it on sale. It was clearance from Alyssa May Designs. She doesn't carry that fabric anymore, but I swear I bought that almost a year ago and I didn't know what it was going to be,
mm-hmm.
but I knew one day it was going to be something really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't question that about my fabric choices.
It's perfect. Like, it's just
and
like,
it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
So cute.
I couldn't picked a better fabric for those pants.
Yeah, you guys need to go over to her Instagram and check out her, because we are in the midst of Me, May, Made, and we are making.
Mm-hmm. We are making a lot more. It's good that you bring up Me, May, May, because I know we're kind of at the end of it at this point when this is releasing this podcast, but the purpose for me and for a lot of people with Me, Made, May isn't just to feel like you have to make something new every day. Mm-hmm. It's just being aware that you try to wear something you've made every day, mm-hmm. right? And look at the things that you've made in the past and go, would I still wear this? Could I repurpose this into something new that's more on trend now, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just being more aware of what's in your wardrobe. For me, in that video of those pants we're talking about, is I told myself I was going to wear a Me Made outfit to work on a Tuesday. I go into work, into the office on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I get up Tuesday morning and I'm like, I mean, I have dresses, but it was a little chilly. So I wanted to wear pants and a shirt. I didn't really have anything like that I could wear that was Me Made. Mm-hmm. So I put on an outfit, none of which was Me Made. Super cute though. Pieces I've collected over the years. Like, I have no idea where that cardigan's from. The t-shirt underneath, the ribbed shirt was from Target, and the pants were from a boutique for like $20. So, and I've had them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to wear this to work. And it made me go, you know, I could make all three of these pieces, yeah. But I want to make these pants again because they're really mm-hmm. comfortable. They've got the sheared waisting, waistband. And so I was like, well, this can't be that hard to figure out. So I come home. I took an hour nap in my recliner because I was drained. Something about the fluorescent lights sitting under those all day just drains me. And so then I woke up, I felt refreshed. I cooked dinner and I think it was around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock before I started on those pants. And I was like, I am going to make these tonight. And if not, I have no idea what I'm wearing to work tomorrow. But I was determined to make them that night and wear them to the office the next day. And I did.
Nice.
I didn't get a lot of sleep that night and I paid for it, but I looked cute. all that matters.
That's the main thing.
But it just shows, like, it was just like, hey, I see 4 days into Me Made May, I see a gap in my wardrobe because I didn't have something Me Made that I wanted to wear to the office on a chilly day.
Mm-hmm.
So I fixed that problem and I made some pants and I just turned them inside out and figured out how they were put together.
And the consensus is you need to make this into a pattern.
I'm working on it. I think that they are perfect pretty much year round.
Yeah.
Like, they're really cute. And then people were suggesting, because I posted the video and I was like, let me know if you want this into a pattern. Like, this would be a great, easy first pattern for me to create now that I'm wrapping up this school to learn how to do that. And people were like, yes. And then I want a shorts option, a capri option, a skirt option. I was like, say no more.
Oh.
I got you. I mean, it's all
writing this down.
Oh, yeah. It's all there. But seriously. It just, if I didn't have that fabric and I didn't, you know, have a little stash of goods, I would have not been able to successfully make those pants at 10 o'clock at night.
I do have a stash. It's just not big.
Yeah. You've got a lot of cotton more than garment.
I do.
Though,
yeah.
Because you do a lot of those types of projects.
Mm-hmm. I just love cotton. I don't understand when people say that it's hard to go from a knit to a woven. I'm just like, really? Like, I'm afraid to go from a woven to a knit.
I'm so comfortable with knits in my serger that doing wovens.
It's
for garments, yeah. Not for crafty projects. That's different. But for garments, it's, but I also shared the beginning of May, the list of projects I want to complete this month.
Yeah.
It's long.
Yeah.
And I also work full time, have school to finish, have a kid to finish, help finish junior year. We have a trip planned. And I have a sewing retreat to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Making all the swag for.
I told her there's not 86 hours in the day, so.
What was my response, though? If I just don't sleep on any day that ends in Y, I should be fine.
Yeah.
Look, I may be tired, but I will look cute. Fashion first, sleep second. That's always been my motto. But yeah, when you come, you're going to have a heyday going through my stash. Because I have so much cotton fabric because I used to make bandanas. And I'm not doing that anymore. And I have...
Are you giving me some?
I'd rather it be used. Girl, I have so much. And some of it's very kitschy. It's like, yeah. You know...
Like when my kids would like it maybe, or...
To make more of those wallets even. Mm-hmm. Or those types of... Like I have taco dinosaurs with hot sauce on them.
Oh my God, Jack was like, that would... Like,
there's so many sharks, and I'm just looking. There's football. There's so many. There's dog-themed fabrics, too.
What if I took it home and then made dog
That's fine with me. You want the pattern, too? I've got the acrylic templates that I made.
Oh my God.
I'm serious. I just have no interest in sewing a bunch of triangles anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong.
We got a lot on the docket.
They're cute.
Yeah, but we have a lot, like, the future is bright, and we're going to go towards that, so.
It's brighter. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it served its purpose.
Yep.
Doing that business reignited my passion for sewing again, and it got me into doing it more full-time, and it honestly led me to the job that I have now, and it's helped me get to afford the other fabric stash that I have. Girl, I have a whole bin of like faux leather too.
Oh, really? Wow. My car's going to be loaded up.
Yeah, leave some space. So Nicole has a ride home. It's a lot though.
You got a roof rack?
She could probably use some of this too for her bags.
Oh, yeah.
If she wants, I mean, and some of it may not
be. Do you have any thicker upholstery hanging around?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's all cotton for the most part. Mm-hmm. If I do have any canvas, I kind of hold, unless it's kitschy, I usually hold on to it for occasional bag or something because I don't have a lot of that.
You do have some duffels that you're planning.
You see how none of those made it on my sewing project list for May?
Well, maybe next Christmas, this Christmas.
No, I bought so much canvas and all the supplies to make duffels for everybody in my family for Christmas. I didn't make a single one. Bags intimidate me.
Well,
I don't know why. We've talked about this a few times on the podcast with our bag making guests, and I get so inspired by them and by you. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to do it. And then I'm just like,
you don't.
No.
Oh, geez.
I feel like I need you there.
Hmm.
I know. Yeah, what one. If I bring all the stuff to make one while we're at the sewing retreat?
Yeah, I mean, Nicole also. Me. Totally.
Yes, and Nicole, oh my gosh, yes.
You bringing a heavy duty?
I'm bringing a lot of, of stuff.
Different things.
Before we sign off on our eco-friendly sewing, I hope you guys have learned something from this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope we've shared some ideas or triggered some new thought processes when considering your sewing projects, where you're sourcing materials, repurposing materials, donating materials. Again, don't feel overwhelmed by this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. This is just something to be aware of. So when you do go to clean your closet or your stash, you know.
Yeah. If you have a big, like, flowy skirt, that's a lot of fabric.
It is.
Maybe just throw it out. Make it into something else.
The elastic could still be good in that waistband.
Well, yeah, if it can't be donated, look at it and see what parts could be salvaged.
Maybe. Fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Fresh eyes, fresh purpose. But before we sign off, I do want to take a minute to give Ashley a big old shout out. because she's got her plaque from YouTube where she hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
I know.
I am so flipping proud of you. She will discredit herself all day, but seriously, it's so much hard work. I am so proud of her. You guys, if you're not following Ashley on YouTube, go subscribe to her YouTube channel, Charmed by Ashley. It's always linked in the descriptions, but seriously, she is going to teach you how to make bags, how to make crafting projects, how to make wallets, how to make aprons, how to make all these cool things. I mean, that's how we got connected, is because of a bag she had made. And I was just like, mm-hmm. that looks store-bought. And she just, her tutorials are fantastic. She's got all sorts of things.
It's gotten better over the years.
You're going to learn a lot. You've got to start somewhere. But look, yeah. you've stuck with it.
I know.
You've stuck with it, and it's paying off. And I am so proud. And now that plaque sits behind her in our podcast on her shelf. And I saw it sitting there and I was like, gotta call this girl out. I am so, so flipping proud of you.
Strategically placed.
Strategically, as it should be.
I'm always like,
you've got this beautiful plaque from YouTube for this huge accomplishment. And I've got some $5 sign from Hobby Lobby that says Fabric Attic.
And so, Bethany's on her way. You are on your way. And Diana, too. She's doing amazing as well.
So. It's being more of a focus this year when we can. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just seeing you accomplish it gives me hope that one day I'll find 97,000 more subscribers to add to my 3,000.
Well, the YouTube terrain has evolved over the years. And 5 years ago, a sewing channel with over 100,000 subscribers. No, I don't think so. But now they're hitting a million.
Yeah.
So like these little niche things, like people more every year, a new group of people are coming onto YouTube. You know, kids are growing up and they're finally able to access it because their parents are allowing them to. And then it opens up this world of just all these little niches, and now the sewing community is so big that like anything is possible.
Yeah.
Anything.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when we've talked to guests that are self-taught, they said, I went to YouTube.
Yeah.
I learned to sew from YouTube videos, just like Ashley's videos. And so, you know, even if you feel like someone, if you're interested in starting a YouTube channel to teach people how to sew, do it. Just because Ashley's doing it and I'm doing it and other people are doing it doesn't mean that you shouldn't. Because the way that I teach is different than the way that Ashley teaches, is different than the way that Diana teaches. And we all relate to different people. Mm-hmm. And there's millions and millions and millions of people out there. So just do it. You got to start somewhere. If you go back and look at my first YouTube video, which I'm telling you, please don't.
Yeah, don't.
Please don't.
Not mine.
No. It was not sewing related. So please don't. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And I leave those up because of that. You know what I mean? Like some people will look at my older tutorials and they'll be like, the music's too loud. And I'll be like, okay, well.
Learning opportunity.
Or they'll be like, oh my God, your video was so well, like so good. And it's like, right. But I mean, there was a process of over the years, like, okay, now I got a little bit of money. I got monetized. I go buy a new camera. You know
what I
mean?
That's what I did. I got monetized and I bought a new camera.
Okay. I'm going to buy lights this time. You know, you just kind of reinvest once you get monetized. Mm-hmm.
Like, but you got to start. Yeah. You just got to start. And like my first video, there was no intro. There was no outro. Yeah. I didn't show my face. And I never said, like and subscribe, you know, or anything like that. Like, I just didn't. I just was like, hey, I want to show you how to upload SVGs into Cricut Design Space. And it was just a screen recording with my voice from my computer.
That's what most of mine were, though. So, I mean, like.
You got to get started. Yeah. Get started. So, congrats, Ashley.
Yay.
I'm very proud of you, as we all are. And there's no stopping you now. So,
going for a million.
There you go.
Gonna be a gold one on there.
Perfect.
Well, probably another 10 years, but we'll try.
It's okay, as long as it takes, right?
Yeah,
as long
exactly. As it
takes. Now, if y'all are listening, when you go to YouTube and you go follow Ashley and her Charmed by Ashley YouTube channel, please follow the Social Hours YouTube channel as well. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of our listeners listen to our podcast, which we love, but we do have a YouTube channel. And we do post snippets and clips leading up to the podcast that you can see over there. So be sure to go give us a little subscribe. We would appreciate that.
But not only that, we are very close to being monetized, and that monetization will help support. Grow this community even more.
Yes, because we honestly, it's all out of pocket. It has been since we started last September. Mm-hmm. So we don't make money off of doing this. We just do this because we love
for the love sewing, of it. Yeah.
And we love the sewing community, and we love connecting people with new people in the community with our guests. Mm-hmm. And we just learn so much from all of it. Like, it's a lot of work. I don't think we've really talked about that. It's a lot of work that we do between the two of us. We make a good team. We have different strengths. Good
balance.
We have different strengths. We recognize that, and we have figured out who does well with which tasks, and we divide and conquer. And that's how we deliver this on a weekly basis, which we haven't skipped a week since the day we started. I'm really proud of that. I know I'm tooting our horn over here, but I'll get off my pedestal in a second. I'm sorry. I'm just really proud of you. I'm really proud of us and what we're doing. And I'm so proud of our listeners for supporting us and grateful for their support, because it just lights our fire. Every time we're like, oh my gosh, this is so much work and I'm so stressed out and I've got so much going on. But
you get someone saying, I really enjoyed your podcast. And you're like, oh, okay.
I just learned something new from this episode. Or I just started following our guest because I didn't even know they existed until now. And it's just like, okay, I'm going to keep doing it, you know? And I don't know. We have fun with it, but we've got some fun things planned to finish out our first year doing this coming September. I cannot believe it's almost here.
Wow.
I had a conversation with a gentleman with Constant Contact when I was at Craftcation. They were one of the sponsors. He also has a podcast.
Mm.
And I was telling him about our podcast. I said, look, we're new. We're on episode 37 at the time or something like that. And he goes, what? I was like, every Tuesday, like clockwork, have an episode. And he's like, most podcasts that when they start, they don't get past 20 episodes before they quit, because people don't realize how much work is in it. And I didn't realize that. We're just over here, like,
just doing it,
doing our thing, you know? And it was just kind of put it in perspective, because I don't know.
I haven't looked at the matrix of like podcast successfulness.
Success rates. No.
Yeah.
And so for him to give me that information, I was like, oh, well, then I guess we are doing something right.
That's awesome.
Look at us go.
Wow.
Changed my perspective a little bit. I was like, okay, I thought if we hit a gear, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like,
we hit 20 and we've surpassed it by a lot. And I mean, I'm not slowing down.
This is too much fun.
It's too much fun. And we're
literally going to hit 40 episodes in June.
That's crazy.
Pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
52 a year.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep. I know.
I love it.
I do too. And I'm so glad that you guys love listening and tuning in every week. So thank you. Again, we do have our Patreon. That's extra content that we release on Thursdays. So be sure to hop on over to our Patreon. It's linked in our description below. Let me tell you, Ashley also, and I've mentioned this the last few episodes, she created a beautiful website for us. We have a newsletter. Again, free of charge. This is a newsletter that lets you know the day that a podcast is airing. Hey, knock, knock. Remember us? It's Tuesday. Here's your podcast to listen to on your way to work today. Here's what it's about. Little information about the guest or the episode. And sometimes we have extra content. Like when we did our spring and summer wardrobe, we created this beautiful document to show you all of the garments that we were going to talk about for you to download for free.
Links and everything.
Again, it comes in those emails. So be sure to sign up for our newsletter on our homepage of our website.
Yeah.
That's simple. All right. Well, this is fun.
It was.
It's a fun little chat. I love it when it's just you and I. I mean, I love our guests. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong.
It just makes us reconnect with each other and strengthen our relationship and bond. We haven't met in person yet.
Soon. The countdown. Very soon. The countdown is on. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in again. Now, coming up next week, let me look and see who we have. We have the lovely Maddie. Ooh, from Madeline Intimates.
Yeah.
I am so excited to talk to her. She is
a spicy episode.
Killing it.
She
it
is.
Will be. It will be a spicy. But you know what? That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I spice things up around here. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Tune in next week to hear from her. And until then, happy sewing.
Bye.
Bye.